This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
In our family at New Year, we always seem to have that time when we start to reminisce over memories that still make us laugh. And this year, the focus of those memories seemed to gravitate towards my children's memorable moments of me as their teacher. Yay. One such story was that in my eagerness to make multiplication interesting to my new class of 7-8-year-olds, I presented them with some Bakewell tarts. And to demonstrate multiples of two, I asked a child to arrange the cherry Bakewells into pairs. So all the class could see, I helpfully drew the pairs onto the whiteboard, demonstrating multiples of two. Some of you know where this is going. However, I became increasingly aware of faces reddening, little bodies squirming awkwardly, and some even with a hand on the mouth shaking. And to my horror, as I turned back to the whiteboard, following their wide-eyed, alarmed focus, I realized I had drawn, for every one of them to see, several pairs of perfectly drawn breasts. That bird's eye view attempt at drawing was definitely a mistake. This is a true but funny story, demonstrating that it's easy to think you're communicating something effectively, only to find it's been interpreted differently to what you intended. However, I'm hoping that won't happen today, and we will see that God has already communicated with us, and that we will respond to his invitation to remind him of what he has said. Let me pray for you. Pray for us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Give us ears to hear what you are saying, eyes to see what you are doing, and give us open hearts to receive your love more fully. Give us minds to know you. And Jesus, give us extended arms to receive all that you have for us. Father, let all you want for us this morning rest fully upon us, and all else that is not of you to be remembered no more. Amen. So I'm excited about the message, and I'm expectant that Jesus is inviting us to draw closer and hear the promises he has for us. So I'm wondering, what was it that was predicted about you when you were only 17, if you cast your mind back, considering your background, this lifestyle, your academic performance? I know with my own track record, teachers didn't expect me to amount to much. And I remember hearing many very negative predictions and expectations of how my life would turn out. Sadly, I think I agreed with most of them. I don't know if any of you saw the documentary White Working Class Men by Professor Green. Yeah, that's Professor Green in the middle there. And it's worth a watch. Statistically, white working class boys are the lowest achievers in our society, with only 1 in 10 managing to get to university, and they have high chances of ending up in prison and drug addicted. However, Professor Green introduces a young man, Lewis, the man on his right shoulder. And Lewis grew up on an estate. He had free school meals, a low income, working class parents, and the odds and expectations of Lewis's future were that he wouldn't amount to much. But Lewis had bigger aspirations, and he told his mum he would be the first of his family to go to university. And despite opposition, loads of teasing, Lewis achieved well and ended up getting a place at Cambridge University. So preparing for this talk, this thought was with me. If as human beings we can change the courses of our futures by sheer determination, hard work and positive expectation, how much more can we achieve if we stand by God's word for our lives, our church, our community, when he is unchanging, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, all-loving? If you were here last week, you will know Anne encouraged us to consider what God is calling us to us in 2018. what's expected for you, your family, Leeds Vineyard, Vineyard House. Does your expectation currently align with what God has been saying about you and what has been prophesied since the ancient biblical times? Anne encouraged us to follow Nehemiah's example and post a guard and pray in response to spiritual opposition to our calling in Headingley. God will fight for us through our prayers. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I recommend you listen to the podcast. So let's explore what it is we should be praying in 2018. Approximately 300 years before Nehemiah, Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet, prophesied that Jerusalem would be ruined due to their stubbornness and refusal to follow God. Like all good fathers, God warned there would be repercussions for their choices. Unfortunately, God's people did not heed the warning, and Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled. However, Isaiah also prophesied that God, in his great mercy, love, and faithfulness, would restore his people in full view of all their enemies, so that the glory, the greatness, the power, and the love of the Father would be demonstrated to everyone. In addition to this, Isaiah prophesies there will be further restoration of God to his people. He predicts a Messiah will come to restore all people to him. So on one level, Isaiah is prophesying to the current generation and the Israelites to come. And on a deeper level, he is talking about the saving of sinners, able to return to a kingdom, heavenly kingdom, after exile and separation from God. So maybe you're here today and you don't feel or know a connection to Jesus, and you haven't made that decision to follow him. It may even be that you feel as though you're in a bit of a strange place. You're like an alien here today. God's people felt this in Babylon. They were desperate to get back to Jerusalem where they could worship him again. After 100 years in exile, Nehemiah picks up the rebuilding of the city wall on the exiles' return. Thank goodness for that. But their return would not be easy, and the temple and the city needed repairing. They had little resources, many enemies, separated families, and they were humiliated as a nation. Having a history of not trusting God and endlessly complaining, God had already spoken to the prophets and promised a complete restoration of Jerusalem. It's easy for us to judge them, but I wonder how long are we able to wait on the promises of God for our own lives before our faith crumbles and we begin to complain? Tried 100 years? I want you to have a look at the following. And just tell the person next to you what you see. Describe the pattern. Put your hand up if you saw diamonds. A few of you. How many of you saw squares? More of you. Interesting, looking at the same pattern, but we're seeing a different thing. Let's try the next one. You may have seen this one before. Who sees a young lady? Who sees an old lady? Who sees both? Okay, so the young lady, if you can't see it, the young lady is turning her head away over her shoulder. She's looking over her right shoulder. You can see her chin line, which is the drawing of the nose of the old lady, and a choker chain round her neck, and a feather in the front of her head. And the old lady, the young lady's chin is her nose, and the choker is the old lady's mouth. Can you see them? Anybody not see it yet? Give you a minute too longer. It's one of my favourites, this one. Looking at the same picture and we're seeing totally different things. Rabbi Shemuel, I won't say all his name because I can't say it. Rabbi Shemuel says, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Because we can more easily see our circumstances in the natural, it is easy for us to miss what God sees and what he has promised. Like God's people returning to Jerusalem, we see ourselves as weak and vulnerable, and we believe we have no chance of surviving our enemies. I love that Nehemiah re-established the family groups and brought people back together as the first means of strengthening them as a people. We're also stronger when we pull closer together, fellowship often, and pray together. But just like the people returning, we can encourage each other to see the lack and the challenges, or we can choose to trust and recall the promises of God and remind each other of his promises. In chapters 60 to 62 in Isaiah, we see they are filled with the promises of what God would restore to his people. They speak of great joy they will experience. The light will shine from them, the righteousness that will be restored to them, and the salvation of God's people. I really encourage you to read them and see for yourself what God has promised for you. Isaiah's prophecy should have been an encouragement to the returning exiles that they could expect to see God to do great things in their midst. Isaiah was not just prophesying to Jerusalem, but he was also prophesying to establishing God's kingdom on earth through Jesus. We sang it this morning, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So therefore, these promises are all for us too. With that in mind, let's turn our attention to the promise of Isaiah 62, beginning with verse 6. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please raise a hand and we'll get one to you. You can keep it if you haven't got one, or if you prefer, you can make a donation. So we're starting at verse 6. "I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. So I'm wondering what God means for us in these verses. Start, verse 6, it says, "I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Never be silent day or night. Call on the Lord. Give yourselves no rest." With that in mind, it's really helpful to consider what a watchman did. In biblical times, watchmen were key figures. In farming societies, large watchtowers were placed overlooking the fields. And during the lead up to the harvest, the men would stand watch, guarding the fields from animals or from thieves who would steal the crops. As these crops were the community's food stores, the watchman's role was critical to the well-being of the people. We also read that watchmen mounted the city walls in times of conflict to survey the horizon. He was situated on a spot from which he could see who was coming from a long way off. If a threat appeared, he'd sound a warning and the town would shut its gates and prepare for battle. But interestingly, the watchman often stood quietly, closely observing the daily life of the city. And from his elevated position, he could see much in the streets. He knew the people, their work, their habits, their lifestyles. If his position was near the city gate, he could also observe the city business transactions by its officials. The ancient watchman could comment on a society's behavior, but also deliver messages of warning and instruction. And it's in these characteristics that we see why God would call his Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, just to name a few, to be watchmen for his people. To understand the full meaning of the symbolism of a watchman, it's helpful to look at these prophets. In Ezekiel 3:17, God told Ezekiel to warn Israel of its sin and his impending punishment, saying, "God, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me." It's not Ezekiel's message, it's God's message. And this is what prophecy is. It's God's message delivered through a human envelope. The warning comes from God and is designed to bring people to repentance and back into relationship with God. The prophet had the duty to deliver the message regardless of how individuals responded to the warning. But the heart of the prophet's message, and this is the important bit, was to show the people how to live and maintain their faith. It wasn't focused on pointing out their problems, but was to encourage people to turn back to God. Therefore, the message had also to highlight the benefits of doing so. They promised a better way of life that God desired his people to live. So if that was then, what now? Who are the watchmen now? Who is it who's to prophesy now? If Isaiah's prophecy is to be applied to the rescue of us now, and speaks of Jesus making a way for us to know God now, who are the watchmen God has posted? Who must remind God of all he has promised day and night without ceasing? In Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, we read of the incredible moment the disciples received the Holy Spirit. The people were together in one place. Funny, it's there again. The people were all together. People who felt vulnerable, they gathered together and waited for his instruction. They watched for him. Seems to me we need to pay attention to this gathering together. Anyway, suddenly a sound like wind came from heaven and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. By means of explanation of what had just happened to them, in Acts 2, verse 7 to 18, the Apostle Peter quotes the prophet Joel to the gathering crowds. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So all of us here who have chosen to follow Jesus and have received the Holy Spirit will prophesy. That's all of us. We have all been sent to be the watchman, to remind God of all his promises, every one of us. And it might be you've not chosen to follow Jesus yet, and it may be this is your time. Maybe you don't need to feel in a strange land anymore. Maybe you need to choose to come back into the relationship with God you were always intended for, that you might join in, that you might find yourself in that place of redemption, salvation, joy and light. So if we're all followers of Jesus, we are the watchmen. What is it that we're to prophesy through our prayers, through our intercession? What is it we're to remind God of? Verse 7 says, give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the peace of the earth. The watchman role is given to a group of people charged with a prayer vigil for the well-being of Jerusalem. These people, by their presence and their prayers, seek to keep the city fulfilling her destiny. So God is inviting us all to relentlessly remind him through our prayers of what he's promised to do. Why would he invite us to do this? Maybe God's hopelessly forgetful. He's forgotten what he said. Or maybe is it that he's just too deaf and he can't hear, so he needs us to say it relentlessly, constantly, day and night, cry out. My experience of God has been that if he asks me to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, it's for my good. I've learned the hard way, just like the people of Jerusalem. It is better just to do things the way he says, and that somewhere in that obedience, it will prosper me. Looking at this image, the natural world can speak to the spiritual nature of an unchanging Father God. Is it not there? No! Oh, right, I had an awesome image to show you, which was of two brains. One, they're three-year-old children's brains, two different children. One is well-developed, healthy-looking, well-nurtured. The other is shriveled, shrunken, clearly not a well-formed brain. And these brains haven't been adjusted in comparison of size. None have been enlarged or made smaller. So they are a direct comparison of size and quality. The one on the left shows a healthy, normal developed brain, and the other one, the development of a child who has been suffering from severe neglect. I'm wondering, could it be just as a brain needs to be nurtured, spoken tenderly to, you know, encouraged, positive, to grow well and to be thriving, so does our faith. Our faith needs that. When we are faced with dire circumstances, when the odds are against us and our situations seem unchanging, It's easy for our faith to shrivel like a neglected child's brain, and for our words and actions to become negative. It's long been known that our actions will follow our feelings, and our feelings will follow our thoughts, what we believe to be true. So remember working class Lewis, his thoughts were that he was good enough for the best university despite his disadvantaged background. And he felt that he could achieve it, and so he worked hard in line with that belief. God calls us to be reminders of what we believe about what he has promised. God wants us to remind him and recall his promises unendingly so that our faith and our hope grow as we wait for the promises to be fulfilled. Therefore, we're all watchmen being called to speak out unceasingly the promises of God. This includes the good news about Jesus, and as we see the kingdom of heaven expanding through our testimonies, we will declare this. We will say that, God, this is what you want to do. Let's see it here in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of this church, in the life of Headingley. In Isaiah 52, verse 9 and 10, we read, "Your watchmen shall lift up their voices with their voices. They shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion." We need to keep reminding God that he has promised to reach the community of Headingley and the communities that we find ourselves in. He has led us here. He has given us many words regarding this. Last week, Anne reminded us of some of these words. We're a banqueting table with many cups being given to the thirsty. We're good neighbours. We provide a place of hope and refuge where the weak are made strong, where the lonely find a friend. We're a place of new beginnings. We'll work in partnership with others in Headingley. We will be the community that gives, gives, gives. We'll nurture change makers. Let's pray and prophesy and see this community thrive. Let's speak this over each other. This is who we are. This is who God says who we are. Let's remind him. Verse 8 and 9 from Isaiah 62, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary." We sense God is saying that families' personal lives will be fruitful, schools will thrive, the businesses will prosper in Headingley as his kingdom advances here. As watchmen, let's pray and prophesy. Verse 10, pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. Let's prophesy that our doors will be open day and night, that our constant prayer and worship, our compassion and mercy will make a way for people to meet Jesus face to face and develop a relationship. Let's pray and prophesy that as we place our rocks firmly in place, they will be the foundation stones for all that is to come. Let the rubble be gathered and repaired so that all may find the way to Jesus. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. This is verse 11. Say to daughter Zion, see your Savior comes. See his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. Let's pray and prophesy for people to see rescue, restoration in their lives. We prophesy they will receive reward and recompense from the hand of Jesus. Verse 12, they'll be called the holy people, the redeemer of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, a city no longer deserted. We will prophesy we will be godly people who are given vision for our community, for our families. We see that God will bring his kingdom to earth and will offer salvation, not just to Israel, but also to all of us and the people of Headingley. Remind God that he is seeking after Headingley and he has turned his face towards the community. The Greek word Gregorio, translated as watch, means to keep awake, to watch and take heed. Through neglect or laziness, it's easy for us to stray away from God's promises and for us to lose hope and faith. The emphasis is on a personal watch through prayer and increasingly together as we seek to strengthen one another in preparation for the fulfillment of his promises. This close relationship with God is to keep us alert. We will need to be vigilant in maintaining our relationship with God and extending his love to others. This is the time for us as watchmen, to mount the walls, to sound an a clear, unmistakable message. It's time to make known the hope of the coming kingdom in our personal lives, in our families, and in the community of Headingley. So I want to invite you all to take your place on the walls, to work for the kingdom, pray for God to fulfill the purposes of his kingdom through you in every area of your life. In the first instance, you may need to move some things. Maybe you need to get involved in the prayer room small groups and shift some work patterns around. Maybe, in addition to this, you need to talk to Anne Buchan and find out how you can get involved with prayer. Keep an eye on what's happening in February and become involved in prayer with others through that month and beyond. I'd really like to pray for you all. So if you could all stand, that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus, for every person here. I thank you that you have made a way for every one of us to know you, and that we are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. I thank you that you have prepared and equipped us for good works to play a part in your kingdom, not because you need us, but because you love us. And you know we will thrive in our kingdom roles. Forgive us when we have been apathetic or preserving and protective of our human indulgences over our kingdom calling. Wake us up. Pour out your spirit upon us that we might take our watch upon the wall. Let your prophetic spirit rest on us that we will prophesy unceasingly, reminding you of all your promises, even if we prophesy for a future generation. Wake us up. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because the Lord has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Vineyard House and the Headingley community will be called a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour.